Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin. And this week I have Lynn Potter with me. She is a licensed acupuncturist with a practice in Get Your Heart and also is a teacher with Clatsop Community College of Qigong. We're going to talk about Qigong and integrating mind, body, and spirit today. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Ann.
So a lot of people have heard about Tai Chi, but fewer people know about Qigong. It's I don't think it's been in practice in the United States nearly as long as Tai
right.
Chi, which I think first started showing up actually in the early 70s.
Yes.
And yeah. That's when I first got exposed to it. And Qigong is like 5 years people have been...
I've been practicing for 15 years.
Okay.
Maybe it became more predominant in the acupuncture school, started filtering in.
So they started teaching it there?
Yes.
Okay. So define it. What is it?
Qigong. Well, the first word, qi, is defined as, you know, the animating life force.
Okay.
That brings all living things to life. It's that energy that runs through us, mm-hmm. that when you're alive, everyone has it. And when you're not... You don't. So, yes, the animating life force in all living things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. And the gong part?
The gong means, it's kind of a twofold word. It means to work with that qi, but it also means discipline. So Qigong really is a discipline, a practice that takes time. You know, that kind of that Eastern philosophy where you don't have instant gratification usually with these practices. It's something over time that you work with.
Practice is a word that people use to apply to yoga as well.
Right. Okay. And actually, Qigong came out of yoga originally. You know, it came out of India when some old sage, I don't know whether it was Padmasambhava or who it was that came out of India, came into China and brought yoga, which then transferred into Qigong. So that it's really
so it's
the same
related.
Thing. Yes, they're very related. Yeah.
So are there postures?
There's thousands of different forms of Qigong. I mean, so just to clarify, you know, I've had maybe three or four teachers of Qigong in my lifetime. I've been practicing for 15 years, and it's by far not an exhaustive, you know, I am not the expert on this. There are so many different forms of Qigong that I can't even begin to name them all.
So are people practicing this all over the world?
Yes, they are.
And do they do mm-hmm. it in China? I mean, when you see pictures of China, people in a park all doing Tai Chi together,
yes.
do people do Qigong like that
yes.
as well?
In fact, Tai Chi is a form of Qigong. So Tai Chi came out, you know, I think Qigong wasn't as popular because it was primarily kept in the monasteries or, you know, it was taught, you took on apprentices and disciples and there were secret forms and secret practices that were taught that were not spread out to the public because it was something that you had to learn over time to take care of yourself, but it wasn't something you could just throw out there into the world and immediately know what you were doing. So it took a qualified teacher to learn how to do these practices. So yeah, so but Tai Chi came out of that as a martial art form of Qigong. So Qigong is really a way of taking care of the self through, you know, like I said, working with this Qi. It's a way of healing the body, but then they realized, you know, because they couldn't outwardly practice fighting techniques in different eras, they did it with this slow motion Tai Chi, which they realized they could control their Qi and someone else's Qi through doing these practices, and it became Tai Chi, a martial form. So, yes, they realized they could also use it to control other people's Qi.
Okay, so it looks like it's been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Okay, and are there stylized forms that are done like performance?
It's not meant to be a performance. It's meant to be self-care, you know, and it's meant to be something that's almost meditative and where the focus is completely internal You know, my teacher would say that's the difference between exercise, say Western exercise, calisthenics, and Qigong is the mental focus. You're really meant to have your mind in a meditative, relaxed state, completely internal in the body.
And tell me about the healing. What is it that makes it healing?
Well, we all have healing power within us. We all have the capacity within this body to completely heal ourselves. But their belief is that you have to achieve this deeply relaxed state. They would call it the Qigong state in order for the body to be open and flowing. That's the basic premise of Chinese medicine, that if this qi flow, this energy in the body is blocked, whether it's through trauma, disease, emotional stress, then the body will break down. It will not function. It will stop flowing. You know, blockages will occur. So if you can get into this deeply relaxed state and move the qi with your mind through the body, it will maintain an opened and flowing state, and the body's functions will be balanced, and the body will heal itself. You know, whatever the body needs, it will send it there. There's an internal intelligence to the body that knows what to do.
So how does the person who's doing this know what they should do? You know, like what? It's not just thinking, there's also moving. What are they?
So that's where all these thousands of different forms that have manifested over the thousands of years that this has been practiced by different ancient sages that did this deep internal work and eventually could feel their own qi moving in their body and could understand what it took to be, you know, healthy. So they would teach these forms. And so through the practice and through this intense presence in the body, you will become aware of this healing presence. It's very exciting, actually, when people have that first experience where they, oh, I feel the qi, and it, you know, it's kind of exciting, and then you realize you can work with this qi, and you can feel blockages open, or pain release, or emotions release that are held in the body and blocked in the body, but it is a process, of being present and aware of your own internal state. That's why it really is a quiet contemplative practice, because you have to have that intense awareness of your internal environment. And that's not what a lot of us do these days. I mean, we're so preoccupied. There's so much going on in the world that takes our mind out of our body. So my teacher would say this is the greatest form of self-love you can do, you know, because you're giving your own self your full undivided attention and trying to contact that life force with your full awareness and feel its effects in the body. And it's one of those things that you have to experience to really, you know, understand and
that sounds really the opposite of American life.
Well, that's right? Why I think it is becoming more popular. I think it's something that's needed. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that's coming to the West. There are more and more teachers coming over from China that are teaching it, because they're seeing that we are deficient in that area. You know, we need this here. And so hopefully, you know, for those that resonate with it, you know, they can practice it and use it to take care of themselves.
Now, is this something like exercise or other, you know, other things that yoga that people do that you do every day?
Yes. I mean, that ideally, I mean, I have to admit there are days when I miss because something comes up and you don't always get to it. But I feel it. I notice it when I don't do it. I try to start my day with Qigong every day. And there are different, you know, you asked if there was a form. You know, the two forms that I teach, one is an exercise. You move through a 45-minute form, and it exercises every joint of the body. You know, some people will even say the first time, or, you know, the first few times they do it, they feel a little sore even. Mm-hmm. Even though it's very slow motion and very relaxed, you are using the muscles and the joints, because this philosophy does believe that through the material, through the physical body, you will learn to contact the immaterial, the qi. I mean, they go hand in hand. That's that mind, body, spirit that we're talking about. You have to work all three to maintain optimum health and connect with all three. So through the body, you'll connect with the qi and you will connect with the spirit.
So are those the three? And there's a Chinese name for all three?
Yeah. So that's kind of how we in the West, we say mind, body, spirit. Mm-hmm. In the East, there's three terms, qi, which we've talked about, which kind of represents the mind, I guess, in that triad, because the mind is what moves the qi. We direct the qi with our intention. We direct the, you know, how we are going to act and function with our mind. The body The term for that in Chinese is jing, which really means the essence of who we will become. It's like when you are conceived, you know, when your mother and father come together and produce who you are, it's the DNA of what will make up this physical body. And we are all unique, but we all contain all that is of the earth. You know, all the elements of the earth are in this body, the jing, the body. And then the spirit is, the word is shen. And so it's really that collective consciousness, that awareness that is connects you with all things. You know, it's, I guess that's the best way to say it, the awareness or that consciousness that puts you in a state of deep peace and tranquility and connectedness to all things. So those are the three aspects that you're working with Qigong. And the goal is to bring them all together into oneness in the same moment. So by bringing the mind into the body, into a specific point or chi field, or moving the energy through the body, you will maintain or you will obtain that deep spiritual tranquility, hopefully. And so all three come together in the moment, and then hopefully health will follow.
And so when you do that every morning, every day, you're reinforcing that connectedness.
Yes.
And it sounds like you would start your day in a very relaxed, rather than the frenetic alarm goes off, you know, dump down the coffee, run out the door.
Yeah, I mean, and they find that, you know, some people say, oh, I don't have time. But if you do this practice and stop the world for a minute, you'll find that you can be much more efficient and effective in your day. You know, you will be more focused, because that's one of the main goals of Qigong as well, is to focus the mind. You know, they say we have this monkey mind that is always grasping at all these different things, you know, the past, what we've done in the past, the future, planning, problem solving. You know, there's always something outside of us that, you know, I'm the same way, that requires our attention every minute. So the idea is, at least for these, you know, this 1 hour or 20 minutes, bring the mind in and settle down that monkey mind and, you know, align all these three elements of the body. And then for the rest of your day, hopefully you'll be more conscious and aware and kind and present. So that's the idea, if you know. And sometimes you'll have a day where, you know, you do the practice and you still can't bring it together. But still, to have the practice, that's why they say this is something that takes years, you know, to really appreciate the value of it, you know, over time.
That sounds like it might be a hard sell. We are definitely wanting immediate gratification.
Yeah, that's probably why it's not as popular in the West. You know, it's something that, yeah, like I said, it takes time and patience and practice. But once people get it and resonate with it, it's hard to leave it. You know, you're kind of hooked.
So. That sounds great. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. You're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with licensed acupuncturist Lynn Potter. We're back. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with licensed acupuncturist Lynn Potter, who practices in Gearhart and also teaches Qigong through Clatsop Community College. So before we go on, tell me, how can people get in a class, and what's happening with classes?
Okay, currently, I usually teach each term, except for the summer, take a break, a 10-week class called Soaring Crane Qigong, and that's taught once a week for 10 weeks, and that one is going to start in the fall again. This term, I'm teaching something a little different called Awakening Light Gong, and this is just a one-day workshop on June 4th, so it's Saturday, June 4th, all day. It's down at the South County office, La Crosse Middle High School there, in that Diamond Heating building in Seaside, and you just register through Clatsop Community College. And actually, the Paula Duncan, who heads up the community ed, said you can also just show up that day, but I prefer not, because I do have to order some materials for the people that are going to be in the class.
And so that would be a one-day blitz to really get a ton of information.
Yeah. I mean, this is a nice beginning form. It's very simple to learn. Do you want me to describe the difference between the two if they were deciding to try Qigong? Because they are two very different forms.
You mean your regular class and then the workshop?
So okay. If they were deciding, which one do I want to take? Because they're both entry-level forms. They're both beginning forms. The Soaring Crane Qigong, which is taught over 10 weeks, has an actual form to it. There's a 45-minute form that you learn, along with what I call two remedy routines, shorter forms. And this one is a moving form. Like, if you saw me doing it in the park, you might think I was doing Tai Chi, you know, mm-hmm. the slow, graceful movements. And that one has a lot of memory and mental focus. You really have to practice to learn the form. It's a little more difficult to learn, but very rewarding because it's also an exercise, a physical exercise, mm-hmm. As well as the mental focus. The Awakening Light Gong is, because my teacher felt it was important that we have this physical health exercise, but also that the meditative aspect, the quieting the mind, was missing. So she thought we should start teaching this form. And this is more of it involves a sitting meditation, chanting, and also what we call spontaneous movement, qigong, which is where you are standing and achieve that qi state that we were talking about, that deeply relaxed state, and then listen to specific music and let the music move you. It's like a dance. So it's understood that the body moves itself. The body understands where it's blocked, and it will move you to the places that need to be, you know, unblocked. So that one is more of a free-flowing. There's no form to learn, per se. You are your own form with that mm-hmm. one. And mm-hmm. that's the one I'm teaching in June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to learn. Yeah.
And it sounds like you wouldn't have to memorize anything.
No.
And so how would you follow up with that?
How?
Like, put it into practice in your life.
Oh, well, then with the Soaring Crane Qigong, I do offer a practice group on Monday nights at the Bob Chisholm Senior Center. So for people, because that one's a little harder to learn and you need to follow someone so that one I offer a practice group every Monday night too, where you just come for free and we do the practice together. But ideally you would be doing it on your own as well. And there are CDs or tapes that, you know, practice materials that you can follow along to, where my teacher, Professor Chen from China, leads you through the practice. With the Awakening Light, I'm always available for questions. For, you know, once you've been a student, I'm always there mm-hmm. to help you out. And hopefully you just start practicing and explore your own experience with it on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So
how does this integrate with the practice of acupuncture, which is a healthcare mode?
I mean, it's the same basic principle. I mean, the underlying goal of Chinese medicine is balance, oneness, the balance of those three. We call them the three treasures, the qi, the jing, and the shen, to keep your body, mind, and spirit in good health. So I facilitate that through understanding where the imbalances are in a person and talking about what they can do through lifestyle and diet and practices, qigong maybe being one of them, to help themselves. And then through applying acupuncture needles, hopefully we can unblock those blockages of qi in the body to help them obtain that qi state, that deeply relaxed, tranquil state, whereby their body will take care of itself. So that's the acupuncture. This is a way I started teaching because I wanted to give people something that they could do for themselves. I don't need to facilitate it. You have your body, you have your breath, you need about a 4-foot square of space, and you can do qigong, and you can take care of yourself. So it's the same goal, to achieve that oneness of body, mind, spirit, health, well-being, happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you find that a lot of people are needle phobic?
That's always the first question. Does it hurt? Mm-hmm. And that's understandable. Nobody really likes the idea of needles. But most people that come, even people that are afraid, and a lot of people are, you know, there's a certain anxiety around it, but they find that it's not about the needles. It doesn't feel like it's about having someone put needles in you. It's this process of learning to become attuned to your body and its energy flow and where it's blocked. And then I'm just talking to them as they're laying on the table, and I'm putting in the needles, and we're just talking and having a good time. And then they've got all the needles in, and then and they're relaxed. And it's really kind of a pleasant experience, actually.
Well, I find that mostly the needles don't hurt coming in.
Sometimes you don't really feel them.
Sometimes they hurt when they go out. And mm-hmm. I mean, occasionally one yeah. will hurt, but generally it's...
Yeah.
Sometimes there's this... I don't even know what it is. There's like this intensity.
Yeah. And where there are blockages, you may feel a stronger response in the body, you know, but it's kind of that, you know, like massage, that deep pressure that kind of feels good, but it kind of hurts at the same time because mm-hmm. it's moving a blockage. There's a pressure there that's being released. And so, you know, the body to release something needs to feel it, you know, and then once it's released, there's this relief.
You know, you bring up a good point. People are so intolerant of any discomfort.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. at the first sign of discomfort, run for the pill bottle.
Yeah.
And you miss the signals
yeah.
of what your body needs. The body does not have a deficiency of Vicodin or yeah. Advil.
Yeah.
It needs something. And if we don't ever listen to that, which is...
Yeah. And that's a good point to bring up because that's with Qigong as well as acupuncture. You may have uncomfortable feelings rise up as the body is releasing these blockages that have been held for years and years, maybe. They are going to be re-expressed in the body, but hopefully you can be in this safe, relaxed environment where you can be present to it and say, okay, it's just a feeling. Let it rise up. Let it release. And we do have to become okay with experiencing a certain amount of discomfort in order to let it move through us.
Do you think that people can get well as long as they're doing all that covering up?
That's a big question, isn't it? You know, because I always advise my patients, you know, there's a certain point where if you feel like you can't function in the world, then okay, you know, use something to help you get up and get out the door and function in your day, and that's okay. But, you know, ultimately, it would be nice to be free of it. And there are ways that hopefully we can work together, you know, with Western and Eastern and all types of medicine to come to that place where you can let go of those tools and those aids to help you get through the day, you know, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been really struggling with that lately of mm-hmm. how we are so, we're so afraid to hurt. And then if people have been hurting for a long time, they become even less tolerant of it. Even a small amount of pain is intolerable. Mm-hmm. And so at the first, oh mm-hmm. my God, you know, even... People will say, you know, before I even get out of bed, you know, I take something.
Yeah.
Because they do not want to feel it. And I'm thinking yeah. that it's that attitude and that mm-hmm. unwillingness to experience anything that's not pleasant mm-hmm. may prevent them from actually having much of a life.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that blocking those feelings also blocks the feelings of joy and pleasure and, you know, all the positive experiences of life too. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's part of the Eastern philosophy is to be born is as a human being is to suffer to a certain degree. I mean, it's just inherent in being human. We are hardwired with this nervous system to feel pain, and it serves us. Like you said, those are signals that are serving us as information, and it doesn't mean to something to run away from, but to say, okay, take this information in. That's why hopefully with the Qigong too, mm-hmm. you can be so present in your body, you're not thinking of all these other things so that you miss those signals as well. I mean, that's also part of our, you know, way of avoiding life is to be so busy in our mind that we aren't aware of what we're experiencing in our own body. So as soon as you experience a discomfort, it's like, oh, that doesn't feel comfortable. Maybe I should look at what this is and either move a different way or take care of myself in a certain way or, you know, treat it, you know. So, yeah.
I think an example of that is a person sitting at the computer and they've been sitting there for 2 hours, you know, checking mm-hmm. their Facebook and doing right. their email and whatever they're doing. And then when they're done, they go, oh, my neck is killing me.
Yeah.
And
I've done that.
I think everyone's done that. And they probably had a lot of signals that they were having tension in yeah. their neck and maybe starting to get a headache or whatever, that if they'd actually mm-hmm. listened to that and said, oh, it's time to take a break,
right.
move my neck around, yeah. change my position, spend a few minutes away, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have that, you know, go to bed with a headache.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's very true.
So if we can listen more, yeah. Okay. So if people want to get in touch with you either to learn to do Qigong or acupuncture or whatever, take a class from you, how mm-hmm. can they do that?
You can call me. My phone number is 503-717-9811. I'm not the greatest at checking the computer. I'm not very technologically literate, but my email address is LP as in Lynn Potter. The number 3, treasures, so LP3treasures spelled out at yahoo.com. So eventually we'll get to that. But certainly call me, and if you have any questions, and you can also just call the college to sign up for the class.
Okay, now if people want to come to the Monday night practice, can they just drop in who don't know anything?
It's like yoga too. You need to teach them the skills, because you can, I don't want to say scare people off by saying you can hurt yourself, because it is a gentle exercise, but there is, you need to learn the form, because mm-hmm. I'm not teaching there. I'm not in a teaching capacity. I'm facing the front just like everybody else, and we're just doing the form. So I'm not watching people to make sure they're doing the form correctly. We're all facing the front. We're doing it together. It's meant to be a practice for those that have already taken the class.
Okay, so that's just for people that have taken it.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds cool. Mm-hmm. Are there any opportunities for Qigong in North County, Pacific County, anywhere else? Tillamook?
I should have researched this a little more. I know there are people teaching it, so maybe call in if you are teaching Qigong locally. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know there are people are, so call in if you are.
In Portland, are there?
Oh, yeah, there's, again, my knowledge is not exhaustive on all the different forms that are being taught, but I know there are many forms being taught in Portland.
Okay, so aside from the two forms that you talked about, the Soaring Crane and the Awakening Light, there are lots of other types that are taught, so depending on your teacher.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, there's a term in Chinese medicine called Gandong, and that means you need to connect with something at the heart in order for it to transform you. You need to truly connect with it. So find something that you connect with, even if it is gardening or running or, you know, whatever it is that brings that mind, body, spirit together. But it has to be something that you connect at the heart level and you resonate with, and it brings you joy and a sense of peace. And I think everybody needs to have that on a daily basis in their life. So, you know, find something.
And how do you know if you found the right thing? Is it because you feel good, that you feel better when you do it? Or you feel crummy when you don't do it?
Because like we just talked about, sometimes there is discomfort. And mm-hmm. my teachers would always say, stay with it. You know, have confidence, have full confidence in this form and what you're doing, and stick with it, because there will be some discomfort. It's not like it feels good all the time. But it has to be something that brings you a sense of peace and belonging and connection, since that's the goal, you know, that where you feel like you've come home to yourself. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Mm. And a lot of things can do that.
Yes, yes.
Which is
not just Qigong.
No, but...
And Tai Chi and yoga and all those things, yeah.
I even find mm-hmm. that when I'm swimming or running, I get that sense.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, the monotony of it, the repetitiveness of it, the boredom of it, it gets you in a different state.
Yes, we need something that I'm borrowing someone else's metaphor or analogy, but it's like a twisted rubber band. When you find that thing that when you release, it just naturally untwists on its own. You know, when you find that thing that just untwists you, and, you know, it's easy. It should be easy. Well, you know what I mean. Not easy, but should feel good.
It should feel good. And so if it's feeling good, it's probably the right thing to be doing, right? And do more of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, thank you very much for being here today. It's been a pleasure. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Thank you for asking me to be here.
Yeah. My guest has been licensed acupuncturist Lynn Potter, who has a practice in Gearhart and teaches Qigong through Clatsop Community College. And next week, Rob Emanuel, the OSU faculty in water resources, will be here. We will be talking about water, recycling water, preserving water, taking care of water, and making sure that we have it for the future. I'm Ann Goldine.